There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
George Atolli in the studio with me, working through a few of the comments that are coming through on today's talk. What are people saying thus far?
Isabel from Jumeirah says, good teachers will create lessons that encourage critical thinking and problem-solving skills within the framework of traditional subjects like maths and history. These are skills that will get you through life and help you reach any goal.
Argument out there that how we educate people needs to change. Critics say that education today really isn't that much different from what it was 100 years ago. It's still classrooms crammed full of students, all learning the same thing at the same pace from overworked, underpaid and underappreciated teachers who spend 30 years teaching more or less the same thing. That one coming through from an anonymous texter a little earlier on. This one from Sriram, who's joined us on the line. Students should be learning the human values, empathy and psychology. Coding and AI may or may not be relevant some years later, but human values shall remain forever. Sriram, thank you very much indeed for that. Farah joins us on line 6. Morning, Farah.
Good morning.
Thanks very much indeed for your call this morning. So is education in need of something of a shake-up at the moment?
Well, I'll tell you my experience. I am actually dealing with schooling two young girls aged 15 and 11. And if I compare my skill set at the age group that I was, I mean, at that age group, I find skills very different. And I believe technology has played a major role in that. And I would not be shy to use the word interfered in their education. Google, Wikipedia, and Internet have really impacted, I would say, their skills development in the area of, you know, reading, and the judgment of whether what they're reading is, credible enough or not. So basically cutting and pasting, researching tips and bits from all over the internet, stitching them together and completing your projects is, I'm sorry, not the way to do projects. And that's not how we were taught to do it. I can also share the experience of my daughter's school, who experimented rather in a disappointing way with e-learning, and they had an entire 3 to 4 academic year run completely online, no textbooks whatsoever. And they had prepared course material by their own teachers and put it up on portals on the internet. Now, not having a textbook in hand and not having developed your know-how of the concepts like a reader or a textbook does actually disadvantaged my children excessively. And so and now they are past that age where they don't have the patience to, you know, struggle with a reader, struggle with developing the concepts from the basic. They don't have that attention span. They just want to quickly find an answer. They feel they don't need to know everything, you know. And I get that, you know, you don't need to know everything. You can always look it up. But the values of developing thought and your values of, discerning material, and that is something that I think the education system has really, affected.
So do you think that the answer is to try and develop more of a balance at the moment? Or from what your experiences suggest there, do you find that there is a sort of imbalance, that some sort of education systems are going more down the digital road, whereas others are just ignoring it, and there needs to be a balance between the two?
I think I'm completely...
Apologies, we seem to have lost Farah there on that occasion, so let's go back to the lines. In fact, we've got Mark Steve back on the line here. Mark, apologies, thank you. We had a problem with the line a little earlier on, but thanks very much indeed for getting back to us. Good to have you on the show. I interrupted you talking about the fact that some things had changed, some things haven't.
Yes, I mean, we're now using new technologies in classrooms. And, you know, just to give you an example, I mean, you know, we're beginning to use AI-type programs in schools in order to sort of enhance what we're doing. So, you know, where the young person does uses a program, they learn material online, they are then assessed on it. If they do well, they get harder material. If they don't understand it fully, they can step back. So those technologies are being harnessed in schools already. And I think, you know, we are moving with the times and we are really changing how we do things. I think the thing that hasn't changed, and it really does need a serious review, is some of the content of what we teach. And, you know, I mean, you've highlighted the Henry VIII, and, you know, I mean, the sort of classic British curriculum of studying the Henry VIII and then jumping to the Victorians is a sort of case in point. You know, why are we studying Henry VIII and why are we studying the Victorians? They're good questions around why we should be, you know, about what we should be doing. And really, the content of what we teach should be trying to give young people the knowledge so they can understand the world around them. And arguably, you know, learning about the sort of first industrial revolution doesn't really help them understand the world around them today. We're in a sort of post-industrial revolution age. You know, we're in the sort of fourth industrial revolution, if you like. Understanding Henry VIII and the political system, yes, but let's teach that in a different way. Let's get them to understand different models for running societies, whether it's benevolent dictatorship or whether it's you know, democracy or whether it's communism or whatever. You know, we can give models and teach that in a different way rather than teaching through history.
How about classes about things like personal finance, I assume wellness and healthcare, even sort of bringing up children, you know, the benefits of breastfeeding? I mean, obviously, this is for senior school. Psychology, relationships, how to raise children, you know, all these sort of life skills that we presume that children are going to learn at home and just pick up as they go along. How about actually having lessons in those types of life skills? I suppose also maybe for the children who aren't so academic, who are less likely to go on and become sort of lawyers or scientists, maybe these skills would be more constructive for them.
Well, absolutely. I think that everybody needs to do it, and nowhere more importantly than in Dubai, where a lot of these things get done for people. So, Jess, we've put in place a program which is a life skills program, and we teach people to do some very basic things. So some of our younger children are learning to load a dishwasher and to empty a dishwasher, to set a table, to, you know, to iron a shirt, and, you know, some of these sort of make their bed and all these sort of things, which typically in Dubai don't get done for them themselves.
Has it really got to that stage? Is it that bad that helpers are just rendering children unable to do even the most basic of tasks?
Yes, absolutely. Not even, they don't even know how to load and unload a dishwasher. So we've got to the point where we get them to, these are tasks they do at home, but they film themselves, and they have to sort of build up a portfolio of sort of life skill experiences as part of this project, in order to sort of build up sort of a credit, you know, if you like, credits for what they're doing. But these are skills that, you know, we learnt at home, or we learnt in clubs, and, you know, sort of like the Scouts when we were younger. Now the, you know, young people in Dubai just needs to be slightly more formalised, and I think it's right that schools step in and provide the opportunity or the impetus for these things to be taught.
One final one from me, Mark, just to get your thoughts from an education point of view. I mean, it strikes me that things are moving very quickly at the moment. We're evolving very quickly in the digital age. We are questioning our past. We're questioning our present. We can't really predict the future, though, because of the pace of that change. And is that one of the things that is sort of impacting us? How are you as teachers, as educators, how are we as parents, society for that matter, supposed to know how to prepare the younger generations for an unpredictable future?
Well, to some extent, we have to embrace the technologies as they come along. I mean, you know, if you're still working on a very early version of Windows, your life is going to operate very slowly. Whereas if you're operating on the latest version of the operating system, you know, your life will operate faster. And there was a very interesting comment came out of the World Economic Forum last year, which was, you know, when the world gets fast, when fast gets really fast, being slow appears really slow. And I think what we've got to do is to give young people the ability to adapt to change, because change is going to be the only constant in their lives. Now, in some ways, they're really good at this, and in some, you know, they pick up new technologies fairly quickly. But we've got to ground them in history, and we've got to give them the sense of how we got to where we are, and we've got to give them a greater understanding of the world around them, beyond their own little bubble, which they get through their screen.
Mark Steed, always lovely to catch up with you. Thanks so much indeed for your time this morning. All the best to you and all the team at Jess Dubai.
Thanks, Tom.
Let's get the thoughts of Elon Musk now on all things education. He's been very critical of formal education. He's been quoted in the past of saying, "I hated going to school when I was a kid." He told his interviewers it was torture in the past. And yet he has gone on to say why. He's gone into it to justify that. Doesn't just leave it up there and say that he didn't get on with it. Because his principle these days is if you can explain the why in things, that makes a huge difference. You understand purpose. Let's get more from Elon Musk on all things education.
What is education like? You're basically downloading data and algorithms into your brain. And it's actually amazingly bad in conventional education, because like, it shouldn't be like this huge chore. Like, the more you can gamify the process of learning, the better. Like, for my kids, I do not have to encourage them to play video games.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I have to like pry them from their hand.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, like a lot of education is very vaudevillian. You've got someone standing up there kind of lecturing at people, and they've done the same lecture 20 years in a row, and they're not very excited about it. And that lack of enthusiasm is conveyed to the students that they're not very excited about it. They don't know why they're there. Like, why are we learning this stuff? We don't even know why. In fact, I think a lot of things people learn, probably there's no point in learning them, because they never use them in the future.
Because who's going to launch a rocket into space? I mean, that's just like...
Yeah,
exactly. That never happens.
Well, you have to say, like, people, I think, don't stand back and say, well, why are we teaching people these things? And we should tell them probably why we're teaching these things. Because a lot of kids are just in school kind of puzzled as to why they're there. And I think if you can explain the why of things, then that makes a huge difference to people's motivation. Then they understand purpose.
Thanks so much indeed to all of you for your comments. We had Farah on the phone a little earlier on. Thanks to Farah talking about the fact that she was unhappy with Google, Wikipedia, Internet on the whole for interfering into the schooling of primary and secondary students. Thank you for that, Farah. Georgia Tolley also monitoring some of your comments.
Mac from Business Bay says, "I'm a huge supporter of traditional subjects. History, those who don't remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Geography, since understanding other cultures and nations is essential in our global society. And art, since in its various forms, including literature, it expresses what is greatest in our nature. One thing I think schools have to add to the curriculum is coding. The ability to understand and use this basic element of how things work today is important."
This one's come through from Martin on 4001. "I don't think that the school system is ideal. In fact, I think that it is pretty bad. Yet, in my opinion, very few people, too many people," he says, "blame it without thinking about particular problems and how to fix them. The truth is that you learn only what you are willing to learn. The fact that most people leave school unprepared for the real world is their mistake as much as the failure of the system." Thank you for those. Let's get to the lines now. Let's go to line 8 and say good morning to Damodar, who's joining us from Emar Square. Good morning, Damodar.
Good morning, Tom.
Thanks very much indeed for your time this morning. So, does education need to be looked at, rethought?
Yes, certainly. I have a teenager at home who constantly keeps asking me about the relevancy of the current syllabus. As I was hearing Elon Musk a little while ago, he rightly said that children are not being told why we are learning things. They're just being taught things to remember and reproduce at the exam, which is the issue.
And in terms of the questioning that's going on as well, I mean, is that something that you encourage from your child?
Yes, certainly, because, see, once he starts questioning that why he is having to learn certain subjects at school, then we as parents or teachers, it's our responsibility to help the child understand the benefits of learning such things. Sometimes they're relevant, sometimes the current syllabus is not relevant. That is where a change has to come.
So what would you like to see added into the curriculum, added into syllabus?
Okay, see, subjects like yoga, meditation, martial arts, and actually getting back to basic agriculture is something which I think should be included in curriculums early in life, because today's children are easily bored, distracted, and they actually live in a digital cocoon. Having these included in the curriculum will make them self-aware, encourage acceptance, and also will promote a healthy lifestyle among children.
Good thoughts. As always, Damodar, thank you very much indeed for that. Damodar giving us a call from Emar Square. We're talking education, but we're talking the sort of changing face of education, if you like. Traditional versus progressive learning has become the buzzwords. Teachers are interested in what students know in traditional schools. Developmental progressive schools want to know what students think. Progressive schools place less importance on standardized testing, but some schools may give practice tests to help kids prepare for these exams. Traditional schools encourage one-on-one competition among kids. Contest results and honor rolls are posted for students and parents to see in traditional schools. The curriculum at developmental and progressive schools includes more project-based learning, where kids work in groups. Projects can take a week or more. Traditional schools have more homework, tests and quizzes. They tend to use textbooks more often than developmental or progressive schools. Plus, report cards and grading systems are very different at developmental or progressive. They tend to use narrative written reports for elementary schools, while traditional schools go for grades or numeric evaluation methods. Which of the two, both of the two, have their place in the world of education at the moment, but which is better? Recently, Dubai Future Foundation launched Rahal as part of their 10X initiative to take Dubai 10 years into the future in just 2 years' time. Rahal means traveller in Arabic, and the point of the initiative is the world is a classroom and all learning counts. Rahal is a fully customisable platform that will help turn anyone and any organisation into a learning provider and turn all of us into lifelong learners. By providing a supportive regulatory environment, Rahal will enhance learning opportunities for all members of the community, whether they're children or adults. For example, a student wants to complete the basic education but pursue a career in sport. The school will provide those students with weekend or evening classes covering sessions they've missed. Teachers will provide them with notes and other study material. 3 days ago, Indian high school students Tanisha Castro and Tanish George Matthew became the first to sign up for the Rahal program. A contract is drawn up between the parents, the students and the schools. There will also be a subcommittee in every school depending on the school's needs. A proposal outlining the child's ambitions is then sent to the KHDA, after which the child can start customising his education as per his or her strengths. In some cases, the schools will also be paying for the child's training in the secondary institution. Now, this just highlights one of the points that I wanted to make and one that we can discuss in more detail in the second hour of the show. One benefit, I suppose, of having children who have huge amounts of homework every single day, and it causes all sorts of tears and tantrums amongst parents and children alike, and it does beg the question whether there is too much homework that is imposed on children who, you know, should be doing enough work during their school hours. Is that another argument? But the one benefit is, you know what it does do? It sort of inspires me to get back into learning a bit, because I forget how much I enjoyed, not so much my homework, I wasn't that much of a geek or anything like that, but I enjoyed the learning process. And you lose it when you get into a job.
You absolutely do. Would you ever consider going back to university?
Yeah.
What, and back to like essay crises and
yeah.
things? Really?
I thrived on that pressure. I liked that pressure.
And you did history, did you, at uni?
English.
Oh, you did English Lit? I did English Lit as well. You see, study English literature, nice traditional subject, and you end up being a radio broadcaster, just like they said.
Great.
Don't do media studies.
About to be replaced by artificial intelligence.
Yeah, media studies is nonsense. Children should not do media studies.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you just end up watching telly. End up watching the telly.
I have a master's in broadcast journalism.
That's fine, so do I. But what do you have as your normal degree?
Bachelor's in mass media.
No,
yes.
No, you see, that's why you should have done English Lit or like history or politics. Yeah. I wish I'd done politics. I think that would have made me a much better, much more intelligent
person.
Just, yeah, human.
Reading does that.
Robot,
though.
Better robot.
You can read. You don't have to study politics. You can just read it.
No, you need to. Okay, anyway.
Back to the education people. We'll leave this one for afters. Let's get some of the text messages that are coming through. These are some of the thoughts that we have been sent in the first hour. Many modern education methods remove the fat out of learning process, and without the fat, you will end up in skeleton that is arrogant, inflexible, and ugly. Think there will be anyone that could create a masterpiece like Lord of the Rings or War and Peace with only capability training to write 180 characters? Thanks for that.
So we've got one here from Tyler, who's in the marina. He says there are very few people who know exactly what they want to pursue as a career or major in college before the age of 20. That's why we need a broad spectrum of traditional subjects. And Millie from Jebel Ali says technology is advancing. A teen's vision is broadening. It's time parents need to let their children take decisions themselves. Life isn't about getting a job and earning money.
Question, how are parents and teachers and society, for that matter, supposed to know how to prepare their children and their students to succeed in a world that is at best unpredictable and one that we cannot predict at the moment? Let's get some thoughts from the lines. Let's go to line 8 and say good morning to Hesham. Hey, Hesham.
Hey, good morning.
What about your take on all things education? Do you think it needs something of a shake-up?
I think so. I think we need to throw what we have out and put something together based on the needs of our society today. And I'm typing back into what you were saying about things are changing and what we're teaching them is not exactly inconsistent with what we need. 65% of all the kids that are in education system today will work at jobs that don't even exist today. Mm. We don't even know what that would look like. Yet we teach them things based mainly on the Industrial Revolution, when the world needed only engineers and doctors and put things like sciences above arts and humanities. Yet today is completely irrelevant. We don't need any of that stuff anymore.
It's interesting that. So is your thinking that we would be better served to sort of think on our feet rather than this predictive thinking and learning that we've got at the moment? We need to be able to question the norm.
That's one. I mean, all good things that have ever been invented or discovered have been discovered based on a sense of wonder, on wondering how things are and questioning how they are. No great person has ever discovered or invented anything by memorizing a book and appearing for an exam to test how much they've read, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just very frustrating to see. I have a 7-year-old son, to see him studying exactly what I used to study at school.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense whatsoever.
So if you could replace one of your 7-year-old's existing subjects or lessons, and if you could add something into the curriculum, what would you like to see being taught?
I'd focus on two things. I'd say more on life skills, things like emotional intelligence, creativity, maintaining self-worth, things that actually matter to your success. And the second thing, I'd probably do a lot more around the relationship between sciences, not just each individual discipline on its own. For example, Galileo found that crates exist on the moon because of his knowledge of painting and how shades happen on painting. And it's this connection between sciences and arts that make the difference, not the rhythm of super specialization that we go into today. Everybody, it's not enough to be a business professional anymore. You must be a finance professional. It's not enough to be in finance. You must be in Islamic finance or fintech or something. And it's this making us more limited, I think, too.
Nice thoughts there, Hesham. Bless you. Thanks so much indeed for your thoughts there. Hesham giving us his thoughts on the subject. Maybe you'd like to follow suit and do exactly the same. And this whole conversation has been prompted by a simple question that was made a little earlier on. Name the 6 wives of Henry VIII. Srinivas has been in touch with us, saying 3 Catherines, 2 Annes, and 1 Jane. But then follows it up saying, but why on earth are you asking this on the radio this morning? My British colleague has asked. The reason we're asking that is?
We're asking it because your daughter had a friend in her class who asked, basically he was asked what the 6 wives were, and the the confident young lad stood up and said, well, why are we learning this? I think we should learn, you know, better things like personal finance, how to write a check. And that has raised this very interesting conversation as to what should be taught at school, what should children be learning?
You learned the 6 wives of Henry VIII because you had a formula that you trotted out a little earlier on at the business breakfast. What about you, Shruti? Did you have to learn the 6 wives of Henry VIII? No way.
No, I studied in India. We didn't like the British.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it was all about independence for us and all about the world wars and all of that. We didn't learn about Henry VIII.
Strong contribution from the Indians in the world wars. I'd just like to learn.
Curriculum-wise, though.
Very grateful.
Still relevant today, or again, similar sort of problems with the curriculum that you were learning under?
I'll be honest, I don't remember much of school. I blocked out a lot of things that I used to learn, and because I just thought, I'm never going to use this, you know.
Really?
I mean, things like, when was the Treaty of Versailles signed? I don't know. I don't care.
Oh, hang on. That's a good one. Oh, hang on. Oh.
I have no idea. I have no idea.
It was signed in...
Let me Google
post World War One, 1918.
Okay, let's go to the break and then we can give people the answer afterwards. Go to the break.
Or 19.
Go to the break.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.